He's here from Summer City. He's a fireball. He's been preaching. He preaches a lot of different places, a lot of different jails and prisons. That's his heart for men in prison. I would like him to stand up this moment, just say a prayer for us and the rest of his service, if you would. Right. If you're saved, stand up and lift your right hand like that. If you're saved. Now look around. Ain't that cool? Look around. Y'all halfway looked around. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Now if you're saved and you're born again, you got your right hand up. If you want to be effective and you want to reach other people with the gospel and see people saved, lift your other hand. All right. Look around. Look around. You don't have to look around. It's all right. Be disobedient. It's okay. Now let's take up another offering. All right. No, all right. We can put our hands down. You may sit down. All right. Now, what I wanted to show you right there is there's a lot of saved here or professed saved here, and there's everybody in here have their hands up, and you want to be effective Christian. You want to be effective in your ministry since you've been saved. And this message is going to help you do that if you apply it. Amen? If you apply it. Now, if you just hear it and go out here and say it new, it's not going to help you. And I want some of you to leave here tonight and really mess with some of your friends. You'll say, I went to church on a Tuesday night and I stood up and we worshiped God with both hands in the air. And some of them will say, I don't know about you. Y'all ready? Well, let's get in the book, Luke chapter 22. Now, listen, I'm going to give y'all some numbers. I don't know if anybody's taking notes or does take notes, or you can go back on the website and listen. But I'm going to slow down for a minute. I'm going to give you some I'm going to preach from Luke chapter 22, starting in about verse 39. But I'm going to make references, and those references are going to come from Matthew 26. Mark 22. So I might say something that's in the context of this story that you'll say, that's not written right there. It'll be written in one of those chapters, in one of those verses within there. And I'm going to show you something tonight that me and my wife, as we were sitting studying the other night, we found a nugget that turned into a vein that turned into some gold that I'm going to share with you tonight. And you're going to walk out of here and it's going to blow your mind. You're going to be like, wow, God's good. Because we found it. We were looking at one thing because it stood out to me. Then we got together and we started studying. And next thing you know, we found an equation, a mathematical equation that blew me away because I'm not mathematical. But I love the answer. Y'all excited? I'm excited. Amen? I'm as excited as I can be. I'm so glad. I listened to both sermons from Sunday on my way back. And man, I'm so glad that God allowed those two men to stand in the pulpit and preach for me while I was gone. Man, I was blessed, and I know you are blessed. And that's our goal. When we leave here, I don't want you to leave me be gone and y'all eating on like cereal and stuff. I want y'all to get good food, good words. And I heard both messages. Both of them were good. I do not appreciate Ben slandering me while I was gone. And I told him if it happens again, I will lose his number. Amen. But anyway, y'all ready? I'm just messing. I don't care what that old fella does. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they will never hurt me. Hey, listen, I've got an illustration tonight. And when we get into the traditional part of this message, we're going to get into a part of the message about ministry. And what I did is I made a gallon of Kool-Aid, and I was going to use the dark grape Kool-Aid, but all we had was Kool-Aid. Sharon, it'd be all right if we spill that in here. Okay, good. All right, then. You just messed up. Y'all ready? And he came out and went as he went out as he walked to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Verse 40 is an amazing verse. He's going to the cross. He's going to a place of sacrifice. And this is the place that he's preparing himself. If you look in John chapter 18, it said Judas came to a place, you don't have to turn over there, but it said he came to a place where Jesus oftentimes resorted with his disciples. Jesus would often go there and pray. So the night that he was going to be betrayed and the night that he was going to give sacrifice, the night that he was going to surrender his body to the crucifixion, he went to the place that he often resorted to pray. I was thinking as I was getting ready, and I thought God had topped up all the message. I believe he had topped it off and had got no more room for any more message. And God put something else in my spirit, and he said this. He said, Jesus could have went anywhere. But he went to the place where Judas would find him. Woo! He could have went and prayed somewhere else. He could have stayed somewhere else. But instead, he said, devil, I'll be where I'll be, and I'll be doing what I'll be doing. Some of y'all need to make up your mind to be where you'll be and to be doing what you're doing. If you want Judas to find me, I won't be under a rock. I won't dissolve. I won't transparent myself where I can walk through the crowd. I'll be praying where I always pray, asking God. Can I give you another powerful verse right here? He said, "Where you enter not into temptation." Sometimes you think God's telling you to do stuff because he wants you to do it because he's up in heaven recording things, and if you don't do them, he don't like it. That ain't true. What he's doing, he's trying to get you to do the things that are going to edify and strengthen you when you need it. So y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get it? No, I'm going to dig in you tonight. Listen to this. Here's what he did. He said, guys, I'm about to go a little bit further up here and pray. Will you pray right here that you enter not into temptation? Who? You. This prayer, this praying, this reading your Bible, this showing up to church, all the things that we give a list to show how good we are to God, God says, that ain't for me. I'm holy. I'm righteous. That's for you. That's for you. That'll strengthen you. They said, enter not into temptation. Every time I read that, I'm going, what would they be tempted about in the garden? Tempted to fall back into their flesh and flee from the fight. If they had been praying, they would not have flown from the fight. They wouldn't have fell back into their old nature and said, we better get out of here and preserve ourselves. But it's okay. God knew they would. But I want you to look at that. God does not give you a systematic bunch of rules to follow because he's up in heaven seeing if you can follow through with him. He's just wanting you to live a blessed life. And if you draw closer to him, he'll draw nigh to you and you'll have a blessed life. You won't have to search for it. You'll have it. You won't have to wish for it. It'll be upon you. It's one verse in. I'm kind of worried about our time frame now. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and he prayed. Man, I love this. Aren't you glad this is in here? Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Whew. Aren't you glad that's in there? That Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, our Savior, stronger than any of us will ever be, got to a place where he said, God, I really don't want to do this. Gosh, man, I really don't feel like it. I bet I've talked to 20 people in the last 4 days, and they keep telling me, I don't feel like it. I say, good. Because you're not saved by the way you feel. You're saved by Jesus Christ and what he done at Calvary. So whether you feel like it or not, thank God you're saved. It wasn't many days ago when you got saved. God moved in on the inside of you and you ain't got to worry about where God is. He's right there with you. And he's that one that's helping you when you can't help yourself. When you run out of yourself. When you run out of God. Have you run out of yourself yet? I'm running out of myself. In the last few months, I've run out of myself. And I'm looking at God, and I'm thinking, God, you're letting me fail. You're letting me get weak. You're letting me be vulnerable. God, why are you not coming in like a rush of wind? Why are you not coming in with the flag raised? Why are you not coming in like I want you to raise the banner and come and run the enemy off? God says, I am through your weakness. I want you to get so weak that you'll just lean on my strength and not on your own. I know you've heard this for the last two services. Shouldn't be a surprise to you. I love that. Father, if it be thou willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but thine be done. Sometimes you just got to say, when God says no, is it going to be okay with you? There's people in here, golly, I wish I could just come by and just point right at you, but I don't want to because it'd be embarrassing. But there's some people in here that prayed and prayed and prayed and God said no. God said no. Not something like, hey God, I'm really wanting this position. Oh God, I really want this choice parking space at the mall. God, I don't want to walk all the way across the Walmart parking lot. Now see, God's good. He'll bless you. No, don't get mad at me. God bless me. God does some cool little things every once in a while just because He's God. And He don't mind to delight you. He don't mind to blow your socks off. But park at the other end of the parking lot. But praise God, you need to walk some. Some of y'all like me now because I made it funny. But sometimes God, when you're praying in your deepest valley, in your darkest time, and you don't know how to pray, and you don't know what to do, and you've run out of tears. You've cried until tears won't come out no more. There's some people in here that know exactly what I'm talking about. You cried and cried. And somebody said, I wonder why you're not crying. I don't have any more tears to cry. I've run out of. And I wish I could cry. I wish I could feel some emotion. But I don't. Because God has said, apparently, no. And what are you going to do tomorrow? I love some of you because you know what you did? You came back and you're following God and you didn't corrupt. You didn't fall apart. You didn't quit on God. You're not sitting at a house somewhere and saying, God, I'm mad at you and I'm never going to show back up and I'm never going to do it because you let me. You said, God, you must be sovereign and you must love me and you must have a plan that's greater than me. Recently, I went to a concert and I wasn't looking for God to bless me because I was pretty upset. And I was sitting between those puffed up and man, I was like, God, you're messing with me. You're taking some stuff away from me that I've been. It's my concrete, it's my cornerstone, it's my foundation. It's some things I count on, God. And He's like, yes, and all that is me, and I love you. I love you. Oh, how I love you. And He said it over. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. And He just penetrates you because you know what He's saying? He said, no, despite how you feel, oh, how I love you. Oh, you love me? Yes. Despite how you feel, despite your circumstances, despite the word no, I love you. This is heavy, ain't it? You know why it's heavy? Because Christ was heavy. He was so heavy. He, at this point in His ministry, He was so heavy. He was carrying the weight of the world. He was going to die on a cross. And he was carrying every bit of this. He was miserable. Oh, God. Some of y'all don't like to think of Jesus this way. But maybe I'll read the Scriptures to you and you'll believe me. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. Verse 44. Listen to what I'm about to say and let it resonate. And being in agony. Now listen, an angel came and ministered to him, strengthened him. A holy angel came down and sat beside him and said, you're the King. You're God Almighty. I would do anything for you. My King, my God, you were awesome. You were powerful. And you're doing
something that nobody else can do. I'm so blessed. I'm so honored to sit by you and minister you in your weakest hour. Oh my God, I would have never imagined that you would have needed me to be here. I'm preaching to somebody. Have you ever got all the right words and all the right blessings and all the right things and you were still in agony? Seemed like God sent an angel. Seemed like, you know, you got a reprieve. God, I wish somebody in here would shout or praise her. You know what? Matter of fact, I don't even want any of that. You know what I like? I like this silence. That means God's digging in you. I mean, you're silent, and you know what it means? God's just working you. And that's a beautiful sound. Have you ever had somebody come and give you a reprieve? God sent an angel by. Somebody that prayed with you. Somebody that said scripture to you. Somebody blessed you, and for a little minute you forgot that somebody was dying. You forgot that you were losing. You forgot that some things were going on that you couldn't control. And just for a minute you were like, man, this is funny. This is great. And then they walk out the door, and guess what comes in? Agony. Well, it's almost like there was a turnstile at your front door, and God walked out, and the devil walked back in. Started laughing. You almost stopped thinking of the pain. But I'm back. I'm back. Listen. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow, he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He's still not mad at them. He just wants them to be strengthened in themselves. For years we just thought that Jesus came out. What's wrong with you guys? Why don't you sit? No, he's like, oh my goodness, you don't realize how close you're coming to the greatest test of your faith. Even since I've been training you this 3 years, I'm going to be ripped apart from you, and you're going to be flailing and rolling around in the dirt, and you're going to wish you would have prayed tonight. If God's burdened you to do something, do it. If God's burdened you to do something, do it. And I don't care how simple or how goofy or how weird it seems, and it just feels like he's knocking. Oh, why does he want me to read that scripture? Why does he want me to pray that prayer? Why does he want me to go and see this person? Just go. Because maybe God's doing that not just for them, just for you. Amen? Are you hearing me? You hear what I'm saying right there? Because I haven't even got to the message yet. Ain't this good? Verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Can I show y'all something? Can we go a little bit light real quick? You want to see something really cool? Say yes. Okay, good, good. Look, let's go to John 18 really quick. John 18, verses 3, okay? I'm going to show you something. You go show somebody else when you leave here and show it to them with passion. All right? And excitement, because you're going to learn something. And if some of y'all need the equation, I'll give it to you. They took the equation for where David numbered Israel when he wasn't supposed to, and God asked him what he wanted the punishment to be, and he said, let it be 3 days. And an angel came down, and an angel killed 4,000 people in three-day period. Maybe long. Okay, one angel. You got it? That's where they took the equation. It's not like, oh, hard science, biblical. But I want y'all, can I just show you something? And I'll show you how I think right here when I'm studying the Bible. See how weird I am real quick, okay? You want to see this? All right, listen. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers, the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now look, I always get aggravated when I see some plays because they'll have the Roman soldiers all coming to get Jesus. This was not the Roman soldiers. These were the detachment from the temple. Amen? These are all temple guard. They probably got knives and makeshift swords and lanterns and stuff because they can't have them because they're slaves to Roman Empire. Okay, I'm sorry. That's just one of my pet peeves. I'm sorry. I won't bring that up again because some of y'all are mad at me right now because I took away your Roman soldiers when they come to get Jesus. But I want you to see something. Judas having received a band, right there, 100, okay? That's a band, 100, okay? Judas got 100 men to come get Jesus. Okay, I'll go ahead and jump over there one more time. And when they came and they said, are you Jesus? And he said, I am. And guess what they did? They all fell backward as if they were dead. They should have realized right then that they had the wrong guy. but they didn't. We're foolish. Now I want to show you something. Go to Matthew 26, verse 53. I want to show this to you. And I know some of us don't like to run through the Bible and find different places, but I promise you, after you hear this, you're going to be like, wow, cool. Because I was. Now, see, me and Melissa, I thought Jesus was doing overkill because Judas had got 100 soldiers to come after Jesus, and it was a ragtag army. They're not a real outfit, but they came with swords and staves. And when Jesus said, I am him, they all fell backwards. So they're 100 men, but it's still not a great 100 men, but it's still 100. Like if 100 people come after you, you'd be kind of like, oh no, right? All right, have I gave you all enough time to find Matthew 26, 53? Huh? This is going to blow y'all away because it did me. All right, y'all ready? Listen. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? What? Wait a minute. 100? Temple guard. 12 legion. That's 6,000 men times 12. I thought, when I told Melissa, I said, Melissa, because I think I'm smart sometimes, and I am not. And she's sitting down with me at the table, and I said, hey, Melissa, go, let me show you this cool thing in John. And I showed it to her, and I said, now go over to Matthew. And I thought I was real smart, and I'm like going there. And the next thing you know, we looked into it a little bit more, and I said, man, ain't that overkill? Jesus is just showing out, and he's saying, I could have called 12 leaders. He's just showing out. And you know what? God said, no, I'm showing out bigger than that. Because Jesus wasn't talking about the 100 men. You know what he was talking about? He's saying, if I wanted to survive, if I want to live, my God, y'all better get this. If I want to live, if I wanted to not die tonight, if I didn't want to go to the cross, then this is what I would do. I would take these 100 men, I would call 12 legions of angels. And 12 legions of angels can kill 15 trillion people in one day. No. That's like the estimated total of people that were upon the face of the earth at this time. You know what he was saying? If I die, I die for all of you. But if I live, you all die. No, man, if you got to let that sink in. You know what Jesus is saying? If I am not obedient to the cross and I want to be rescued, that means everybody has to pay the sacrifice. You will all be wiped out. But if I go to the cross, one will die for all. Is that not? Man, thank you, Lord, for not wiping us all out and just saying, I'll go by myself. Because 100 men from the temple guard would not stand up to Jesus. Let's go back to Luke chapter 22. I want to finish. Oh, I don't want to finish that, the whole message. I just want to finish the part of leading up into the message. Some of y'all are like ready to go. Not so fast. Are y'all ready? Now look. I turned too far over. Okay, here we go. And when they were about... Okay, verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Okay, y'all good? It's Malchus. Have you ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong crowd? And you knew it. Malchus is a servant. And listen, everybody in this room at one time or another, you were a servant to wickedness. You were a slave to your sin. And you went places and done things that you shouldn't have went and done. And a lot of them were against God. And a lot of them were against God. It'd be all right every once in a while if y'all say, yeah, I know. I was going to this and I was going to that. But have you ever remembered a time when you was loading up with everybody else and you knew that you wasn't supposed to go? I mean, this guy's putting on his armor, and he's putting on his shield, and he's grabbing a little knife, and he's like, I am just not feeling this tonight. This ain't good. We probably shouldn't go. I can tell you, as a born-again sinner, as somebody who's been saved by grace, listen, there were so many times in my life when I went with people, I knew.
I knew God had a calling on my life. I knew the gospel. I knew the word. I knew who Jesus was. I had just not committed my life to Him. And I remember Him trying to touch me when I was in wicked places. Hallelujah! Praise God! Aren't you glad that happened? Malchus is on his way, and he's like, man, I hope I don't get too involved. I hope I don't get too involved in this thing. And he gets there, and the first thing that happens, it goes bad for him real quick. Peter pulls out his sword and slaps his ear clean off. And Jesus stops. Can I have a volunteer? I need a strong person. Anybody here strong? Just physically strong? Come on, man. Somebody be strong. Come on. All right, Gary. Gary's strong. Now, look, this is red Kool-Aid. I don't know if you got this or not, but this is red Kool-Aid. And I filled it slap full. Hold it. You can hold it like that for a little bit, but here in a minute, we're going to change that scenario. I need about three people to stand over here on this side. Come on, Sharon. Come on. Rebecca, can you stand on this side over here? You stand over here. Yeah, Keith, you stand right there. Now, this is a total illustration. We're going to learn some now, okay? Y'all ready to learn? Y'all go with this, stay right there. Scott, you're in there with this bunch. No. You stay there. I'm really wanting you to get this. Okay. All right. Hey, come here. Come here, Chase. Chase, all right, hold that too. Okay, thank you. Now I got to hold them both. Okay, Chase. All right, yeah, all right, stay right there. Now these are your disciples. These are people that you love and care about. And is this heavy? Yeah. Well, guess what? Jesus was heavy. He was heavy when he was praying in the garden. He was really, really heavy. And he was burdened and had a lot on him. And he was going through a lot, so this is big. Jesus is big. Like something, when we get saved, we're big and we're full. But we're going. Are you getting starting to feel it? Well, let me give you a break. Just go ahead and brace that. Here, hold that. Hold that. There you go. Okay, so I give him a break. Now look, that was heavy to him, and it was starting to get a little shake going. He didn't want to show it, but it was. Okay. Now when Jesus was in the garden, he represents this picture. Okay, he had a lot going on with himself. You hear me? I feel the Holy Spirit. I know this is different than what we normally do, but bear with me. You'll learn something. This is him. He's heavy and he's loaded with stuff, and he's going through a lot, and he's miserable, right? But Malchus has been hurt, and Malchus is the enemy. Is that correct? He come to take him into prison. He's the enemy, right? And he's represented by this guy. He's small and insignificant and empty. Remember when we were this guy? And we were doing stuff that we shouldn't have been doing? And with a crowd we shouldn't have been with? And we got cut. We got hurt. Matter of fact, we got our ear cut off. We just couldn't hear God. Remember when we were kids and we could hear God real clear? Early in our ministry, we could hear Him and we could see Him and we could feel Him. Remember? But then we let drugs and alcohol and lying and deception and murder and pain and disobedience get dulled us. And we got empty. And we got small. And we got into a crowd and we were all alone. And we had our good guys, and the good guys are there and they're really dependent on Him. And He's not only worried about this. He's not only worried about Himself, He's worried about them. Right? But then he's got these guys. This is the lady who cleans the church here. And if he spills this red Kool-Aid all over the carpet, oh my goodness, he's in trouble. Or maybe I'm in trouble. I don't know how this is going to go. I mixed it really rich too, Donnie. I mean, I made it real red because I wanted to make an illustration. And when I make an illustration, I make it right. So it's pretty potent. So these guys are looking on at him
and they're saying things and they're doing things to him and they're grabbing him and they're pulling him and they're mean to him and they don't like him and they're disrespecting him. And here, Gary, pour some of that in there. Whoa, what are you doing? Just kind of do one of these shots right there. Why did you pull that real close? Don't do that. Get a little bit lower and this a little bit higher. Now, go ahead. What are you? Whoa. Wait a minute. Whoa. Okay, all right. You keep getting closer with that. Why? You're cheating. Okay, it's full. Why did you? The first thing you did, you wanted to get that thing real close, didn't you? Why? Set that down. You can set it down. Y'all can sit down. Do you see what he did? Y'all see what he did? First thing he did, he got that thing so close. Right? This represents Jesus. Right? And the first thing he did, man, your hands are warm. You got a sweat going on there. Yeah. I didn't put red Kool-Aid in there. Woo! The first thing he did is he got it real close. The one that was carrying the weight, that had all the burden, that had all the trouble, that big pitcher, that big guy, that big strong Christian, the first thing he did is he drew that thing that shouldn't have been there, who shouldn't have been getting help, who shouldn't have been being poured into, who shouldn't have been getting healed. He drew it up real close where he could pour everything in. I'm trying to help y'all. If y'all let me help you right here. Jesus was in agony. He was in pain and he was heavy. So you know what he did? Instead of letting that eat him, because there's some of you in here right now that you're letting your heaviness and your anger and your bitterness and everything and all that you're going through, you're letting it just weigh you down and you're all the time consumed with I. And you know what you need to do? You need to pour some of you out into somebody who has nothing, because when you do that, you forget about you and you start thinking about them. See, the first thing he did, I watched him. If you would have watched, I probably should have done a better illustration. He took his eyes off of the pitcher and he was looking at the cup. It's not about us when you're pouring it out. It's not about what's going on pouring out Jesus. It's not about us when we're pouring out love. It's not about us when we're pouring out grace. It's not about us when we're trying to heal somebody who we don't need, shouldn't have got healing. We're focused on them, so all of our problems start to fade. Then I noticed something. The people that counted on him, the people that loved him, and the people that had expectations, they started dissipating too. He first was looking at them, and when they were helping him, he would look to them. But guess what? When he had the cup, and he had the pitcher to pour, and he was pouring out, he never looked over to the people. Sometimes the people you love the most, and you want to care about the most, sometimes they have to do them in Christ Jesus, and you have to do you. And do what God wants you to do. And stop focusing on them, because if you're focusing on them, you're going to miss what you're supposed to be doing, because you're focusing on good people. That's fine to focus on good people, but not when you're doing ministry. You need to focus on who you're ministering to, because people, if they're not careful, will have you doing stuff that you were never meant to do. There's some of you sitting in this room right now. You've done some stuff that you shouldn't have been doing just because they said, you're saved and you'll do it and we'll put the burden on you. And you need to learn really quick. I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please God. So if God says to do it, I'll do it. But if he doesn't, I'm sorry, friend. I'm not trying to please you. Because what I could do is I could end up pleasing you and it would end up killing me and my relationship with God. Y'all don't like that, but I'm telling you the truth. I've tried to please people before, and I tried to do all the right things, and I tried to say all the right things, and yes, I'll go, and yes, I'll be there, and yes, I'll do this, and yes, I'll do that. And the next thing you know, my wagon's like this, and my donkey's in the air, and I'm thinking, God, why can't I go and do anything? It seems like I'm being useless. Because you loaded your wagon with stuff that I never intended for you to carry. Where people say, I got burnt out. The reason you got burnt out is you let people put logs in your fire that were never supposed to be there. Then they have these people on the other side. These are your people who are criticizing and are mad and angry, and they are there to destroy you, and they hate you, and they don't want, and they say, hey, you might even be related to some of them. And you know what you need to do? Get real focused on the people that wants you to pour into their lives. And what they're saying, they start to fall away because you're ministering. Yep, in your most tragic moment, when your enemies are raging and when your friends don't know what to do, and you got to make a decision, do I go over there and try to help them do all the stuff? Do I go over here and try to soothe my enemies and get them to like me? Maybe if I do everything they want me to do, they'll stop criticizing. They'll stop being mad. And they'll start hating on me. No, guess what? They'll find something else. Never. This is just too good and too real, I guess. But guess what happens when you pour into that person? You've put the ear back on. You've healed the person. Guess what? It kind of makes everything right. Amen? It sets everything in order. That's what I like. Because when everything should be out of control, that's when God wants you to use it. Listen, I want you to write this down in your mind. I want you to get this. Listen, write this down. Get this in your mind. There is never a great time to do ministry. Every time is a great time. I want you to get this and let it sink in. When the devil's saying, don't do this, you ain't got time, you've been frustrated with units, listen, you know what you say? Okay, God, I got this. There's somebody right here in my path. Listen, Malchus was put in Jesus' path. He looked right at him, and you know what he could have said? I ain't got time for this. I'm going to the cross. I'm dying for the sins of the whole world. No, you know what he said? I can focus on all my trouble, focus on these and that. You know what I'm going to do? The last miracle that Jesus done was to a man who has come to take him to the cross, a servant of his enemy. And Jesus showed right there, this is what I do. I touch people that shouldn't have never been touched. I don't know if Malchus is going to be in heaven. I really don't know. But God, I hope so. I hope so. I hope when we're all around the throne of glory, worshiping as in 10,000 years as it's just begun, I hope Malchus taps one of us and says, he touched me. I mean, I was on my way. I was on my way to get him. I was on my way to destroy him. I was on my way to put an end to him. And he should have never touched me. But he touched me anyway. And since he touched me, I've never been the same. I was running with the wrong crowd. I was going with the wrong people. And I had no idea that he would touch me. But he did. And amongst all the people, he touched me. Do you remember when he touched you? Do you remember when he got a hold of you when he probably shouldn't have got a hold of you? Or aren't you glad he did? Whew. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.